Hello, my name is Alexis Tsipras, the leader of the Greek government, and I have taken time out from overseeing the political, social and economic collapse of the country to introduce this Trust the Wizards podcast. I have a song for you with lavish production, a full orchestra, a choir with some of the finest singers. Sorry about this. Angela. Hi. I can't have that. Okay, as you wish. Okay. Change of plan here. This is a thinly veiled satire on how the EU rides roughshod over the democratic wishes of people and enslaves nations. Here's the time machine with 998 pieces.
I went to the library, just like I did every Friday. Every Friday, I get on the bus and go to the library. I withdrew my favourite jigsaw for the 15th time, and a 1,000-piece jigsaw of the birds of the coastline. The birds of the coastline. And when I got it home, I tipped it out onto the table, upon which I was able to complete the jigsaw in record time. In record time. But without warning, in the morning when I came down, there was an empty space where the cormorant's face, and nothing where the puffin's head should have been. Oh, I just can't believe this. I've abused one of the library's leases, for I took out 1,000 and now it's 998 pieces. So I went back to the library and explained that last Friday I'd taken out a jigsaw and something puzzling had happened. Something very puzzling. The librarian agreed that the box was lighter, so she called a supervisor to advise her who advised her and asked me to accompany them into the back room. Oh, I just can't believe this. The matter is now the police's. I took out 1,000 and now it's 998 pieces. Six days in the cell was a living hell. I missed your birthday party and the cup final as well. Wigan Athletic had beaten Manchester City 1-0. In the magistrate's court, I stood in the docks, presented at Exhibit A, a jigsaw puzzle box. Yes, I admitted, I have seen that box before. I answered their questions, I entered my plea, not guilty. The courtroom fell silent and the judge addressed me. This is what he said. This is what he said.
Oh, Mr. Foster, you abused one of the library's leases when you took out 1,000 and returned 998 pieces.
Oh, the guilt, it never ceases, that I abused one of the library's leases, for I took out 1,000 and now it's 998 pieces. Please don't send me down. I took out 1,000 and now it's 998 pieces.
I have no choice.
I took out 1,000 and now it's 998
pieces.
Good evening and welcome to the Trust the Wizards podcast.
Hooray!
Well done, lads. My name's Rebel Ricky and it's my pleasure to introduce the two fellow wizards, Sharitho Garbanzo.
Good evening.
And Mr. Kicker of Elves.
Thank you very much.
And we're introducing these two wizards tonight because they are musical impresarios.
We are, yes. Imprecise impresarios.
Impressive impresarios.
Oh, let's go with that, yeah.
We got our first gig coming up. That's why we thought we'd start off with the Time Machine today. Time Machine, T-H-Y-M-E, by the way. And we're putting on a gig on the 6th of August in Liverpool, so come along.
The Trust the Wizards Roadshow.
Trust the Wizards Roadshow, indeed.
For the very first time, Trust the Wizards presents something.
Yeah.
And it's not only the Time Machines, is it?
No.
No. Well, not only Lancaster's premier leopard-fronted indie band, but the Bard of Bolton himself, Ballard, is coming and playing a set.
A solo set.
And it's all you can get all of that for just five of your Earth pounds.
Wow. And where's it at again?
Maguire's. Maguire's Pizza Bar, Renshaw Street, Central Liverpool, 6th of August. Be there or you'll miss out.
You're not going to be square.
No, well, I'll be... well, at least a rectangle.
So, you are hacked off with hail, run down with rain, saddened by snow, had enough of hurricanes, driven to distraction by drizzle, wound up by wind, ticked off by typhoons, fucked off by fog, miffed by mist, peaked by patchy cloud, irked by ice storms... vexed by vapour, and generally peeved by precipitation. You, my friend, have got the sunshine blues.
And dreaming that I am a boy.
I emerged out of the water and went into the garden with a small silver hand between my thighs.
Later in the shower, I see a boy naked. He is contagious, and I can feel mine. I was told not to stare then, but my eyes have never been larger in and out of my body.
monster kept growing. Oh, 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 oh. Guess that's what's called fresh memory. Oh, how I wanted to tell him that we had switched places. In my dream, I had him on me, but I didn't that day when I told her the dog was a wolf and the rock was a cliff. Spikes embrace my spine, my face, my cunt. I can feel myself from above, but I can't see who's holding them. It would be easy to think about submission, but I don't think it's about submission. It's about holding and being held.
I tried to ask you.
Well, that was Jenny Hvall with Sabbath. Mm. Yeah, that's pronunciation, Hvall.
And Sabbath.
And Sabbath, very good, yes. Yeah. That's from her album Apocalypse Girl. Didn't sound anything like Sabbath. There's only one Sabbath, yeah. That's basically. No, she wrote this when she was 33. Do you know the significance of that?
Christ, yeah.
Christ died.
Christ died at 33, and apparently you have like a Damascus-style conversion to something when you're 33. It's significant.
33 and a third.
Like RPM. Adrian Moll.
RPM. Yeah.
Oh, I see. And did you have a Jesus year at 33? Has it come
33,
yet?
33, let me think. Well,
a Jesus year? Walking on water?
Well, you could do that, I guess.
I turned wine to water. Wine to urine.
I moved to the north.
Oh, there you go.
On my 33rd birthday.
Did you?
Wow.
Yeah, that's quite big.
That just occurred to me.
Because I thought about it. I thought, yes, I gave birth in my 33rd year, and it was a transformative moment. Yeah, well, obviously, I was heavily involved.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that proves a theory.
So did I.
Did you?
I was 33 when my son was born.
Wow. So there's something in this, isn't there?
There is something in this, yeah.
Right. Anyway, Jenny,
Twisted Pop sounds from Oslo, I'd say.
Yeah, from the,
in fact, I just have.
From the album Apocalypse Girl.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting cover you've got there, isn't it?
Yeah. She's not going to fit that in, is she?
She looks like one
There's
of those...
There's no way that's going in.
Well, let's explain to the listener what's going on. She's got one of those big exercise balls. In fact, funnily, linking them to what you were just talking about, often pregnant people use those, don't they? One of those massive, massive rubber exercise balls. And she's...
put yours away.
I don't know what she's doing with it. But that's not how you do the exercise.
I think she's asleep on it, isn't she?
She's lying on her belly, if that is indeed her. It could be just someone else. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good tackle song.
Very strange lyrics.
I like the word use of the word cunt is excellent. Mm.
Mm. Well, particularly coming from a female.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, it's gratuitous often when
men provocative say it. And yet compelling.
Well, what I thought was interesting, it's very in your face, so to speak. Mm. And the descriptions of sexuality and all that, it's a bit frightening and intimidating. Mm. But at the end she concludes it's about being held and holding.
Yes.
So sweet.
That is very nice. Actually, I thought of PJ Harvey listening to that, obviously. Yeah.
And Bjork.
And it turns out that she has actually worked with John Parrish.
Oh, yeah.
In the past. So yeah. there is a PJ Harvey connection.
Did you pick up on the soft dick rock theory that she had?
I didn't really know.
Did you not? No. Well, one of the tracks on the album. It's not on this. The one track's on the album. Album very good, by the way.
Yeah.
Soft dick rock, which you're thinking, what was she? Is she carrying on this theme of being very intimate?
Is that like soft rock?
No, I didn't realise. I thought she was maybe talking about, being with a man who couldn't get hard.
Mm.
I thought, that's quite an awkward subject to reveal to oneself, to one's audience. But now she's talking about all these bands who've gone forever, like AC/DC, the Rolling Stones.
Mm.
And, you know, they used to be, you know, young and virile, and now it's soft dick rock.
Oh, interesting.
Because they couldn't get it hard, even if they wanted to. Nice. I think it's her theory.
Yeah, very good. And
then before that...
Yes.
Lucerne Rays?
Lucerne Rays,
right?
Yes.
Are they also from Scandinavia?
They are Scandinavian. They're from Stockholm. They're recording on the Punk Slum
We've played stuff... From Punk Slum, PNKSLM.
Yeah, Punk Slime, I think, is the full.
All right. And I noticed this single, red, bright red 7-inch single that you've got here, is limited edition number 2 of 300.
Thank
you
very much.
There quick with that, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we have played stuff from them before. Les Big Bird are on the same label.
Well, they get a thank you on here, don't they?
Yeah.
Les Big Bird, Eternal Tack. It says, which is of course Scandinavian for thanks.
Yeah.
But they've got. I like this thing on the back. They say thanks to Jock, Les Big Bird, and various other people. The whole Punk Slum family, and then quite the opposite of that, they go fuck SD.
SD.
SD. Mm. Now, I don't know if they're talking about those little cards that you have, little memory cards.
SD cards.
They don't like them.
They don't like them. They might be very anti them. Funny enough, though, the guy who is your
perhaps, perhaps they're saying, fuck ex-Fulham midfielder Simon Davis.
That's the assumed that they are.
Yeah, it could be him.
Luke.
Steve Davis.
Luke.
The snooker player, yeah.
Luke. Yeah. I'm going to say Luke again, if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Luke.
Yeah.
I haven't got a surname, but Luke out of London's band Sex Beat, you'll be familiar with them.
Oh yes, yeah.
It's him.
It's him, is it?
Right. So he apparently moved to Stockholm, where he worked as a window cleaner,
right?
And also as a hand model. She's good work if you can get it. But anyway,
did he wave goodbye to that performance? Yeah.
after that didn't work out for him, there he was. He produced this band.
I've had many hand jobs, you know.
Have you? In fact, you're having one right now. So it says here that Lucerne Rays, the band, is a result of a weekend of complete isolation in a studio over midsummer after a series of failures and an awkward fallout with members of Les Big Bird. I don't know. Maybe SD is an...
They thank Les Big Bird.
Oh, there you go.
Well, they tack him.
I
had written down on here that I really liked it. To me, that song, I really liked that song. It was very good. And it starts off like the Ramones covering Status Quo's Down, 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 Down.
Yes.
It does sound like that at the start. And then when they stop, they go, dun, 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 then they go into, and then it sounds like sort of John Spencer singing with the Strokes.
In fact, having a stroke.
John Spencer, the snooker player, so whilst we're on the Steve Davis thing, but John Spencer, as in Blues Explosion, that guy.
Yeah.
And I really liked the woo bit, which I assumed was an electric guitar, but seeing the sleeve notes, I wrote one here, I like the whistly whoopy theremin impersonating guitar, but here I see it's a theremin.
Oh.
In the credits of the album, actually a theremin. All Noise by Lucerne Rays, except Theremin, which is by Jocker Arland, presumably the Jocker who gets thanked on there.
There you go. Yeah. So a full Scandinavian start to the pod.
Oh, even Kevin. Cold in there.
One time, Higson, a member of Gallon Drunk, Madness, Very prolific under his own name, and with the Scapegoats, collaborator with Robin Hitchcock, Terry Edwards, and I recently saw him on tour with Tony Visconti and Woody Woodmansey from David Bowie's early 70s band. Check out my review on the blog. He's got a new EP out, and it's called Beyond Harlem Nocturne, and it's a collaboration with Tindersticks guitarist Neil Fraser, and it's fantastic. There's four tracks on here. It starts off with a version of the jazz standard Harlem Nocturne, which is very kind of creepy and definitely reminds you of a sleazy New York night. There's a fantastic flute song called Lullaby for Ian, which is was written after Terry Edwards heard about Ian Dury's terminal cancer some years ago. And there's a rather peculiar song called Curveball, which really does throw a curveball, but it's very good. But we're going to play a version of a Tindersticks song called Factory Girls, which was my favourite song from Tindersticks' album before last, Falling Down a Mountain.
The time that slips away, it's the wine that makes me sad. Such a silly boy, sat underneath the tree, can't even go to his own party. It's so easy, and all the girls from the factory, you piled them high for their bounty, made me feel a little more like me. It's so easy, and all the boys, they held out their hands, thinking that what they get is for free. Couldn't read the repayment plans. It's so easy, like standing up and not falling down. There's nothing to do, nothing to figure out. Just put your feet firmly on the ground. It's so easy. Thank you.
Was Richard Thompson with No Peace, No End from the album Still. Were you saying something about his collaborator there?
With Jeff Tweedy.
Who is Jeff Tweedy?
A Wilco.
Wilco guy. Oh, is he on it? Is it?
Yeah. Right. I don't know. Does he play?
It's unmistakably Richard Thompson, though, isn't it?
I'm not sure that he's playing. Is he producing it or playing on it? You have the album, Rebel.
Well, it's recorded with Wilco. It's recorded with. He also contributes backing guitar and vocals on some tracks.
Okay.
Yeah, so
he might be on it then.
He's in the mix.
But the best bit of that is not him. It's definitely Richard Thompson.
Oh yeah,
playing the guitar like he plays it. Fantastic.
Well, there's something unmistakable about Richard Thompson's guitar, lead guitar sound.
Is it the way he picks it?
I don't know. It's also the sort of twangy reverby effect he has on it as well. But yeah, it's definitely. Very recognisable. I wasn't really that aware of him, but there's a Proclaimers song on the second Proclaimers album, which has got a Richard Thompson guitar solo on it, and it's that every time I hear that, I go, "Oh, that sounds like the guitar solo on that Proclaimers song."
Right. Yeah. Well, because one of our early pods was Richard.
First live podcast. Yeah.
First live podcast. That's right.
And because you made me go and see him,
and
then you made me listen to him, and I couldn't listen to the back catalogue, so I had to listen to the new album,
right?
Which I thought was incredible. And then, of course, we saw him, and you know, when the new stuff comes out, I'm just dying to listen to that guitar solo because they're so good, and the guitar sound, and he's such a technician, such a virtuoso. They think, I wonder what sounds he'll get, and I wonder how fantastic the guitar solos will be. And this, it's sort of the strongest track, and I think it was the track that we'd like most, if you like. Mm. But all the way through the album, he's experimenting with different sounds and styles. And it's all good.
His lyrics are very acerbic, aren't they? And they're often quite amusing in their acerbicness.
This CD, which came free with Uncut magazine a couple of months ago, has got another track off the album called Beatnik Walkin', which is I think is even better, and that's got some good lyrics.
none of which I've written down to quote, but you'll just take my word for it.
Do we know if Patrick Vieira is on bass, or was he on drums? I can't remember.
Patrick Vieira was on drums. Bobby Ball was on
Bobby
bass.
Bobby Ball on bass. Do we know if it's the same band?
We've got no idea, and I've not seen any pictures or anything like that. Yeah. But it's cover photo. He looks quite cool, you know. I've never seen it.
Is it. He's got a beret on.
Of course. Of course, wearing a black shirt. But he's doing a little interesting thing with his hand.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you can get a modelling career out of that.
You can indeed. Yes. One more hand job for the collection. Fantastic.
And who was before that then?
Terry Edwards and Neil Fraser.
We
the song from Falling Down a Mountain.
Yeah.
We're going to have an interview with Terry on our blog very soon.
Very good.
And he's playing some gigs with Neil Fraser. Hopefully he'll come around this way a bit, but he's playing in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. If you're going to that, get yourself along. It's only a tenner. To see at the Cali Bar or the Cayley Bar, Caley Bar, here on Rutland Street, Edinburgh, and it's on every day, as far as I can see. It seems to be on for about 3 weeks for a tenner or £8 if in brackets. £8, maybe that's if you're a pensioner or a student.
Yeah, very good. Well, I have to say that the trumpet on that is just fantastic.
It's excellent.
So I've written the word love 3 times in capital letters to describe that trumpet sound. Yeah,
I was interested because Jarethel's mentioned Terry Edwards quite a number of times, and I've always nodded along like I knew what he was talking about. Yeah, yeah. But honestly, I had no idea.
Really?
Who he was. No. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said, because I've got the list here of people he's with.
Yeah,
I don't know what he did with Madness, but also the
trumpet or saxophone.
Is that what he does?
He's principally a brass player or woodwind. So technically, his saxophone is a woodwind instrument, but he's principally a sort of side man who people hire for brass and woodwind stuff. But you can play everything, and he sings too.
You should listen, if you want to. Some of my favourite records of his are the ones he did.
Is that with the Scapegoats?
No. I was going to say the cover versions of Jesus and Mary Chain and The Fall.
Really?
Yeah. He did an EP called Terry Edwards Salutes the Magic of The Fall.
Yeah.
And Terry Edwards, it wasn't Salutes, but it was something else. Yeah. The magic of the Jesus and Mary Chain.
Yeah. Tremendous.
I'm sure that
can be Googled. Yeah. The only one reservation I would have is that song came on, and it's a dead ringer for Robbie Williams' She's the One.
Is it?
It is.
Oh.
Da, 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 da. She's the One. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, that's a world party song before Robbie Williams got his dirty mitts on it.
For the lucky few, there's something new. It's a Wizards album review for you.
And you.
But not you. Ezra Furman. Ezra Furman, Perpetual Motion People. We've played Ezra Furman on the podcast before. This is, I think, his 6th album. It's his 3rd as Ezra Furman. Previous albums were Ezra Furman and the Harpoons. He's beginning to make a bit of a name for himself, this guy. This is his album on Bella Union, which is the album, the same label as John Grant, and owned by the guy from Ex-Cocteau Twins guy, isn't it? Runs this.
Is he the pornography guy?
No, it's not Paul Raymond, no. Simon Raymond, I think, is his name, yeah. Not the pornography guy, no. I don't think they're related at all. It's
a surprising record.
Yeah, it's a surprising record, yeah.
Can I, because you chose this one, Sharitha.
I chose this one. I mean, we played a track a little while ago Day of the Dog. It was another one off
the
album.
The Underwater one?
At the Bottom of the Ocean.
That's it.
Now, that album, Day of the Dog, the first album I had was the one before that. I can't remember what it's called, but which I absolutely loved. And then Day of the Dog was extraordinary, and I go so far as to say that is it's one of the albums of the decade without question.
Right.
The Dexys one for me is the best album of the decade so far, and then after that you've got Day of the Dog, you've got the John Grant first album, and you've got the Iron and Wine album that I really like, and you know, those are the best albums of the decade so far. So I wasn't expecting this one to be as good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've only listened to it a couple of weeks, I've only listened to it for a couple of weeks, and I'm already thinking, well, this is just as good.
Did you have any reservations initially? Didn't you think, for example, did the words glam rock pass you? Did it flash through your mind for a second?
No.
Trashy saxophone sound.
Well, the saxophone. Well, no. Well, no, not is at that, all. Is there lots of saxophones in glam rock? Is there?
Yeah. Right. Roxy music and Sweet and people like that. Mm-hmm.
I think it is quite glam.
Oh, yeah. I think it's very glam.
Which is good.
Yeah. It's got bits of... Well, I think it's got bits of all sorts of stuff in it.
Well, I mean, I must say, I listed just the first time and thought, my God, what is this junk? Oh. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, all the doo-wops in there, they didn't seem right.
Oh, I like doo-wops.
It was out of my comfort zone. Mm. I think that was the problem.
It's interesting because when I first listened to it, and the first track... I thought, this is tremendous.
Yeah.
If it keeps this up, this is going to be my favourite record of the year. Mm. I love that first track. It didn't for me, actually.
Right.
But there's plenty of other really interesting things there. But that first track is superb.
It is.
There are so many ideas, though. Mm. So many ideas in it that it lost me a little bit.
Musically or lyrically, so many ideas?
Well, I mean musically, really, because lyrically, lots of very clever lyrics, but it's still that balance, isn't it, between the clever lyrics and then those sort of wordless, as you said, the doo-wops and the bopsy langs and the diddy-wah-doos.
I love that.
That really appeals to me. But no, there's the music, it's just a bit too much, really, and it felt a little bit incoherent, which, you know, is all right. But it was one of those albums that I enjoyed more listening to a little bit of and then going away rather than playing it all the way through again and again.
Yeah. Well, don't leave anyone hanging, though. After two or three listens, I think you're right. I think it's a fantastic thing. It seems to the really, really upbeat, crazy, and Sparks as well, I think you've got to mention as well. You know, very strange,
silly,
incredibly popular. Yeah, silly, yeah. That seems to... there's four or five tracks that it sort of levels out a bit, shall we say, and there's more reflective stuff towards the end.
Yeah.
And Neil Young was mentioned as an influence in all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, and I read that this is his sort of, it's not his gay album as such, but this is an album of him exploring his sexuality. I did read that he's either gay or bi, but you know, this is really saying, yes, I'm gay, so what?
Right.
I think that something to be said in that, it's an album where he's kind of become more comfortable with himself. As always with his albums, the sleeve notes are absolutely fascinating. This part here, I'll just show you. I won't read
They're
it
long,
to you,
aren't
but,
they?
But this part basically is talking about a time in his life when he was living in a van and suicidal.
Right.
The way he's written about it is extraordinary, and it's kind of also. It feels like this is a kind of an open letter to anybody who might be in that place, you know. And then there's a poem here, which is a poem he wrote at the time, and he writes about it a lot at length. And then there's other stuff about because he's wearing women's clothing on the front cover, and he wears women's clothing on stage quite a lot, which I think is a fairly recent development that he's only started recently doing that in public. He's still very young. He's only, you know, 23, 24, I think. I think, he is becoming more comfortable and more confident in himself. He's a troubled guy. If you read interviews with him, you know, he's a deep-thinking guy. It's clear from the records.
It's interesting you say that, because I haven't read the sleeve notes, but I felt that if there was a theme going on, I thought it was... quite a few of the songs are about mental illness, I think.
Yes, they are in one way or another.
Haunted Head...
Yeah. Haunted Head, definitely. Can I Sleep in Your Brain? And then there's some also more positive stuff, like The Body Was Made One, which is a kind of reclamation. That's a kind of big fuck you to I read it as the religious right, or anybody who tries to tell you can't dress a certain way, you can't be a certain way, you can't do a certain thing. And, your body was made. And
he also does that thing which a lot of artists that I like, that we like, do, which is, I'm thinking particularly of The Beautiful South here, where they have a really upbeat tune, but a downbeat lyric.
And, yes.
And John Grant does that as well.
Yes,
he?
And
that works really well, I think. Mm. And the more interesting songs are actually the bouncier ones.
Mm.
As you said, Neil Young, there are one or two that you think, well, that does sound a bit like Neil. I didn't like them so much.
You mean the slower ones, you mean?
Well, it's not necessarily the slower ones, but there's... which ones have I got here? Watch You Can Go By. There was another one that was a Neil Young track.
There's a couple at the end about the sinning and the...
Oh, yeah, One Day I Will Sin No More. See, that's why at the end of the day, I don't rate it quite as highly as Day of the Dog, because there are a couple of songs which I don't think are quite as good as the rest of the album. But yeah. So if One Day I Will Sin No More, which is a perfectly nice song, I just don't think it fits on the album. Yeah. It sounds like an old sort of gospel-y, country right. gospel. Sounds yeah. like it should be on the Oh Brother Where Art Thou soundtrack yeah. Yeah, or something right. like that. Yeah. It's a perfectly it serviceable sound, song, it? But I just think it's a bit out of place
yeah,
with the rest of the
stuff. What you were saying about the artist and what you sort of like about them. And, you know, it is serious, but it's also, it's completely incoherent.
Mm.
And, because the one that particularly grabbed me was Lousy Connection. And I had to write these lyrics down because I thought, these are just incredible. They're mad, yet they are sort of saying something, but they are completely crazy. Mm. So he says, so I've been working on this letter to Congress about some issues that I think they should address.
Mm. Good, yeah.
Shows up in court wearing an Indian headdress. Mm. Somehow, I think maybe the message got lost.
That's yeah, I was hoping you would pick that up. That's one of my favourite songs of them. So that shows there the kind of combination of the serious and the daft yeah. as well, doesn't it?
The line I like in that song is about when I'm all fucking mumbles. I thought that was super.
I've got the world's ear and I'm all fucking mumbles. Yeah,
brilliant.
You know. Which again seems like it's relating to the fact that he's beginning to get quite popular yeah. after struggling okay, for a year, yeah, yeah. and now he's got people listening to him, but he doesn't really know what to say.
Yeah,
but he has got a lot to say in these other songs.
Okay, just on these yeah. I thought these were again it's genius. I listened to this and wrote this down, so I'm not trying to bring up that. So the century seems like it's turning out okay, like a game of worldwide karaoke. But then this next line, I thought, if you want people to support you, you wouldn't say this. And my rich friends and me just sit around and blow smoke rings. There's nothing happening. It's happening too fast. And you're like, what's he trying to convince me of? Yeah, and he says, I've got the world, dear. I'm so fucking humble. I guess I'm just a link in the chain.
Mm. Yeah. But the thing yeah. about that song...
All fucking mumbles. Also fucking humble would work as well. Yeah.
All fucking mumbles. You got the yeah. right
there. Oh, did I get one of my favourites? Well, yeah.
But you said that's one of your favourites. It's not one of mine. I like the lyrics, but the song, to me, sounded like a Beach Boy parody. And the rest, that some of the songs lose me because I don't like the musicality of it.
Mm. Yeah.
When he does that sort of modern lovers Velvet Underground-y influence stuff, it's brilliant and it's right up my street. And there are a number of songs that are like that. But then there's the songs like Wobbly.
Yeah, I love that one.
I didn't like that.
I didn't like that one at first, but it grew on me. And and I like it's a bit daft, but then it's got the bit in the middle which explains. It's kind of very poppy, that one, in a way.
Is it the manic to the depressive?
It's described here as drunk Benny Hill.
Well, yeah. I've got Benny Hill. Actually, Potholes I had as Benny Hill.
Yeah, is that because of the sax again?
Yeah.
They've got Shoddy Woddy.
But there's a bit where he says, it sounds like a pretty daft song about I'm feeling wobbly. Sometimes I'm feeling wobbly.
Yeah.
But then there's a bit, I'm trying to find out the lyrics here, it kind of explains that.
It sounds too happy. I know it
there's that middle-eight bit where he kind of explains what he means by wobbly. I can't actually find it.
But, you know, you're saying he's a troubled soul, is it? What I liked about it was the sense of, if not self-confidence, self-expression.
Mm.
How you think he's really going for it. Whatever's inside, he's not holding back.
No.
He's letting it all rip out. And it's interesting because I recently read the book by Bob Mould, which is excellent. And Bob Mould is a gay man, which I didn't know, and he goes through different phases of his gaydom, if you like.
You would, if you'd played a game of Husker Du, you'd have worked that out.
I'd have worked that out, yeah. But anyway, so he starts off, he was in a relationship, like a heterosexual relationship, but with a man, and then he consciously grasped his gay self and went for the full-on camp, you know, very sexually liberated, you know, and mixing it up.
Mm.
And then he found his calling, which was the burr.
Mm.
Are you familiar with this branch of gay sexuality?
I'm aware of that.
Yeah. John Branson. Men with beers who like rock music.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
I think
Ezra.
You've got a beard.
I think Ezra is very much in that full-on gay sexualization thing.
I think, to
put it in two words, chase me.
That's four words.
Anyway, should we talk about a song to play?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I think you probably like more of it than I do. So I think.
Okay. Go on, then you say which songs.
I'm gonna have to narrow us down because.
Have you got three?
I've got three that I really.
Go on. Just tell us your three.
Okay, the three that I really like in the order that I like them best. Well, Restless Year, the opening track, is the one I like best. I also really liked Haunted Head, and Tip of a Match. Those are my top.
Okay. Well, I would agree with Restless Year,
And I suppose number two, we hark to the music. But frankly, if we don't play Lousy Connection, no. I'm going to have a hissy fit.
Well, that's fine. We don't know.
Well, please yourself.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, did you say Haunted Head was one of yours?
No.
Okay. You did say Restless Year.
I did, yeah.
Well, I think we're going to end up playing Restless Year. I really like Lousy Connection. I'm with you on that one. But and Haunted Head, I think, is an extraordinary piece of writing. Mm.
Bassoon? Is it a bassoon? I'm assuming it's a bassoon on that.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like
I don't want to ruin the atmosphere here, but I really do want to hear Lousy Connection, okay?
Yeah,
can we just do that thing?
No.
You carry on.
Yeah.
Are you really going to walk? Are you going to walk out?
Well, no,
you're going to flounce out.
I'm sitting. I'm still here, aren't I? I'm still here.
Well, I think.
Rebel, it's not how it works.
Yeah, we have some.
But it shouldn't work like that. It should change the way it works. You can do that, can't you?
Can't, no.
Yeah, I also really like Hour of Deepest Need. Body was made for the lyrics in particular. I think that we're going to have to just choose a song. So let's just play the opening track, Restless Year.
So the second album that we're going to review is the album Amazing Grace by Sam Duckworth, who was Get Cape, Wear Cape, Fly. So presumably now he's Got Cape, War Cape, Flew.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this record features, I would say, at least 40 musicians.
Does it?
Really? Yeah. And it doesn't really sound like, because you kind of worry. I think it's a worrying sign when there's so many musicians on it, but it doesn't sound like that. But there are over 40 musicians on that, so I'll pass you that.
Yeah.
He's previously recorded for Alco Pop, but this isn't on. Oh, it is on Alco Pop. This is an Alco Pop record. Mm. There you go. I wasn't aware that it necessarily was because.
But hold on, aren't you an Alco Pop completist, and therefore you would have got that through the post?
Well, no, because I got this through a pledge thing, a Kickstarter effort.
Ah, yes.
Because it's only a CD, but it's signed.
So you were part of the I saw the pledge music page.
Yeah.
So you actually went through that route.
Yeah. So I didn't get through Alco Pop, although it is an Alco Pop.
I'm seeing some names I recognise here in the credits.
There are a lot of people you'll know there. Yeah. I mean, this has been a good time of year to listen to this record because it's not really my thing ordinarily. It's quite a light record. It's a jazzy folky record,
yeah.
But it's a very summer record. Yeah. And I think when you listen to this, or when I was listening to this, on those few sunny days that we had, it was just about perfect. So, yeah, what do you think?
Well, I'm just going to say a few of these names I recognise in the credits, because I didn't pick up on this at all. But the first track where they have somebody reading a children's story near the end, that's Kate Nash.
Yeah.
Grace Petrie is on that track as well. This track seems to have two of the blokes from Gomez.
That's right. Yeah.
I can't imagine there's another Tom Gray and Ben Otuel doing some backing vocals on track two, Hiding Place, which I like very much. Kate Nash again. Dennis Brown on vocals, but I'm assuming that's not the old reggae guy from the old days. There was someone else name I reckon. Ben Watson, who of course scored the famous FA Cup final goal for Wigan a couple of years ago. Jest. J-E-H-S-T, he was a rapper. Well, I thought he's a rapper.
That's
one of my favourite tracks, actually, is the Gelda Melson Cargo.
Where he does the rap at the end of it.
Yeah, and there's a kind of...
Are you aware of Gelda Melson, by the way? Do you know what it is?
It does get mentioned in the song, doesn't it? But I'm guessing it's a place, and I'm guessing it's in Holland.
It's a famous shipwreck.
Is it?
Obviously not that famous, but it's a
hence the line, the Gelda Melson cargo lying deep beneath the sea.
There you go, yeah. And it's the story of Michael Hatcher, I think it's Michael Hatcher, is the guy who discovered, he found it.
Uh-huh.
The diving fella.
Yeah, and what happened to him after that then?
I don't know.
Okay, it's his story. The story about finding...
He found it, didn't he?
Okay. Well, lived happily ever after.
Look at that.
It reminded me of a few other people as well as
Ruddy
as
Frame.
As,
Ruddy Frame. I've got Ruddy Frame.
A little bit of Ruddy Frame. Frank Turner in places.
Definitely Frank Turner. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you're not a fan of Frank Turner. Mm-hmm. Most of all, it reminded me of Tung. You know, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but the band that I really like.
Tung.
T-U-N-N-G. Who I've always thought is pronounced Tung.
Yeah.
And there's a side project. One of the guys in that band has a side project called Diagrams, and it sounds like that. It's kind of a mixture of acoustic stuff with a little bit of electronic stuff and little snippets from all kinds of different other genres. And also the album I just mentioned before, the Kiss Each Other Clean album by Iron and Wine, which has got that kind of combination of acoustic instruments largely with a bit of the brass here and there, and swing, jazz kind of.
It's a folk album, but all those interesting little sounds all over it make it more than that, and more. It's actually a surprisingly dense sounding album, I think.
It's pleasant though, isn't it?
Very
unusual for us.
Very pleasant.
It's a pleasant.
It's grand. You sit there enjoying the sunshine.
Why don't we listen to more pleasant?
I don't know. We should do. Shouldn't we? There's Glockenspiel on it.
Who knew? Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I went to the Pledge Music page.
Oh, did you?
I sort of stumbled upon it, to be honest with you. But it was interesting, all the comments. There was loads of comments on, but 90% were saying, when's this CD coming, mate?
I gave you my money.
It was a bit delayed.
Flown off with your cake.
No, they were all much more polite than that. So, oh, hi, yeah, great to see it's progressing. Any idea when it might arrive?
Yeah. I noticed there was also track one, also features vocalist Jimmy Jazz. Police came in looking for him. He said he was
here. That's where he is now.
But he went past, and he's.
There's some nice trumpet on this one as well. I think because we've had Terry Edwards at the start of the show. But I think there's some nice trumpet. I don't know who plays trumpet on Long Division. I think it's on Long Division.
Long Division. Let me find out. Let's give a shout out to the man or the lady.
I don't suppose it was
Gavin Fitzjohn. Who's that? He's all over this album. Gavin Fitzjohn.
Do you know who that is?
I have no idea. He's a bloke. He plays
trumpet.
Trumpet.
Yeah.
I say he's all over this album.
Don't.
He's on that track, and he's on none of the others. No, he's not. He plays trumpet on Only a Fool, which is the bit I was referring to before. I really like that one.
Yeah.
In fact, shall I just tell you what my favourite?
Yeah, go on. Tell us.
I did actually, happily, seeing as we usually try to say, well, tell us your three songs. There were three songs I really, really loved on this album.
Jumped out at you. Didn't
yeah, and the rest was all very, very nice too. But there was three songs, and indeed one song especially that I really liked. There's track number 7, Cities in the Sky. It was very good. The aforementioned Gelda Melson Cargo, which now I understand what they're singing about, I think I'll like even more. But I like the fact that it kind of goes into that sort of strange poem bit at the end.
Right.
With the
I didn't really like that bit.
I didn't. I thought, I just assumed until I just read there that it's Jest.
I who doesn't normally make this kind of music at all.
Right.
I assumed it was the same guy, Sam Duckworth, just doing a bit of rap spoken poetry kind of thing. But my favourite track by quite a long way is the Only a Fool with its chorus of Only a Fool Thinks That He Thinks. No, I can't even say it. Only a fool he knows about things about things that he knows nothing of. Which is very good and reminds me of the Rudyard Kipling line that Billy Bragg stole or borrowed.
Pointed at people.
What do they know of England who only England know? It reminds me of that a bit. But yeah, that was the standout track for me.
Okay.
I think it's one of those albums that you listen to as an album. And it washes over you.
Much more so than the Ezra Furman one, I thought.
Yes, definitely, yeah. Mm. Well, because it's
shorter.
There's that.
But it's less musically diverse.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't jump around all over the place as much as Ezra's.
But by the same token, then you don't pick out, you listen to it as an album.
Right, okay.
Are you
making excuses for not having written down any songs?
No, I wrote down El Loco.
Oh, the opener.
Opening track.
Yeah, that was good. And Only a Fool, I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
But I didn't write down the third one. I seem to remember there was rapping on one of them.
That's the
Gelder Meldon. Actually, Gelder Meldon, isn't it?
Gelder Meldon.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. I also chose three. And I have to say that on my first listen, my favourite song was As It Is, which neither of you have mentioned. But I thought that was the least obviously folky and sort of more odd noises on it. That's the one I like the best. But as I played it more, I like the way you said goodbye, which comes towards the end. There's a bit of a drone on that one, which I like. But probably my favourite song is Only a Fool.
Well, we better play that one then.
Tropicália on this one, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know much Get Cape Where Cape Fly, but there's a song, there's an album they did, The Chronicles of a Bohemian Teenager, and there's a song on there, which was my favourite song on that album, and it's called An Oak Tree, and that's a bit similar vein to this. Yeah. It's got a bit of a sort of Latin feel to it.
Yeah.
And it's got a lyric that I thought was very appropriate as well. It's strip it back to the bare bones, though not a matter of choice. There's still something of worth in an acoustic and a voice.
Customer, and you are always right. He's the type of boy for extended warranties, and you're the type of girl to understand it properly. 'Cause only a fool thinks he knows things about things that he knows nothing of. Only a fool thinks he knows things about things that he knows nothing of. That he knows nothing of. I heard a story about a place. There tomorrow, it's the perfect getaway. No signal for hours, nobody for days. Aren't you curious about what they had to say? It's not incompatible, but not entirely practical. Let's take a sabbatical,
disobey the schedule. A perfectly respectable hypothetical. I'm racking my mind for the perfect alibi, 'cause only a fool thinks he knows things about things that he knows nothing of. 'Cause only a fool thinks he knows things about things that he knows nothing of.
Indie band Felt, led by mono-nominal oddball Lawrence, released 10 albums in the 80s, the best of which, if you ask me, and you really ought to, was the final one, Me and a Monkey on the Moon.
I'm sure it's the first one.
On that album, keyboard player and future member of Primal Scream and the Charlatans, Martin Duffy, gets many chances to shine. They went in for wordy album titles, Me and a Monkey on the Moon, Forever Breathes the Lonely Word, Crumbling the Antiseptic Beauty, The Strange Idol's Pattern and other short stories, Ignite the Seven Canyons, The Pictorial Jackson Review, and their fifth album, Let the Snakes Crinkle Their Heads to Death. This one was different from the others because it was totally instrumental. 10 tracks, with the whole album clocking in at 18 minutes. Average track length, 1 minute 48 seconds.
Impressive.
The Ramones' first album, by the way, average track length, 2 minutes 5 seconds. So it beats that. Listener, if you can tell us an album, which isn't like Napalm Death or Extreme Noise Terror, but an album with actual songs on it, where with less... Oh, you've got one, have you?
I think you'll find a number of Graham Rapulski's albums fit into this category.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, they've got an average track length of under 1 minute 48.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah.
Prove it. Bring it to the next part.
Right, I'll try my best.
Okay. Anyway, on this album, it's most of it is kind of rather down-tempo, soundscapey kind of stuff, quite experimental. And Martin Duffy last year released, as far as I'm aware, his first ever solo album, which was more in that kind of vein. But there's a few tracks which are unbelievably jolly, music that I think are impossible to be unhappy to. This particular one is the opening track, Song for William S. Harvey. And I think this sounds like it should be used as the soundtrack to a film where you have a proud dog, a Dutch hound maybe, or something like that, walking down a pavement, sporting a rosette or medal. He's just won, and he's feeling absolutely top of the world. He's achieved something remarkable, and this is the theme as he walks down the road. Funny you should mention about the film soundtrack. Because I thought of two films I would put this to.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The first one's called Sunshine Girl. Mm. For joyful, happy, sun, all that.
Is this a real film?
It will be.
Okay.
Yeah. And this covers the opening sequence where we see our sunshine girl
riding
her like retro bike through the park with a floral hat on, right? That's the sun's reflected through her blonde hair.
Mm.
She's got a chihuahua in the basket at the front.
Yeah.
As far as I've got with that one.
Well, yeah. I think she's almost certainly going to a lemonade disco or whatever it was.
Disco lemonade. She'll be on her way to disco lemonade. And the other one's called Limitless Amounts of Plastic.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a sci-fi.
Brand.
No, it's kind of a... And it's a
sci-fi.
It's a hopeful thing about a scientist, a young man, who discovers that the future is limitless.
Mm.
And you will always have plastic. And if we always have plastic, we can always have Tupperware. If we can always have Tupperware, we can always have lunches. It's a very hopeful, optimistic, beautiful film.
It needs to be made. Yeah.
With that soundtrack.
That soundtrack.
Did the Dutch sound fit in?
That's your film.
I think
Sunshine Girl might have a sidekick.
To be honest, we can combine all these ideas.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Dachshund can be in this film. But in my head, all I can see is juggling. I think it's a really...
Somebody's nice, juggling to that music.
You're juggling. So if we can involve the Dachshunds and the disco and the happiness and the plastic and juggling with that song, well, that's a winner, isn't it?
Oscars, here we come. Next we have a band who, as far as I can tell, are from St. John's, which is in Canada, in a place called Newfoundland and Labrador.
Newfoundland.
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 Okay.
And Labrador. 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 Labrador.
As in dog.
Dachshund.
Well, it's named after two dogs, isn't it?
Dachshund.
It's an area named after two dogs. Newfoundland and Labrador.
It's Newfoundland's not a dog, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's one of those great big dogs that looks like a bear.
I think it may have been named after the place rather than the other way around, but I would like to be picking holes in this story.
Do you think that when the founding fathers landed on the shores of Newfoundland, they just found the area, there's no one living there except for
dogs.
Native Americans and some fucking great big dogs? Anyway, but yeah,
I like to think
although
that, yes.
It's just about the closest bit of North America to us, you know, that bit.
Is it?
Yeah, it sticks out. It's kind of like the most eastern bit, and St. John's is quite at that end.
Right.
And apparently, I looked this place up on the internet, there's a lot of wolves, there's occasional polar bears, and lots and lots of caribou. So much so that the website advert.
You mean rum?
The tourist information for this
is that
place.
Caribou? Rum? Is that rum?
I don't know.
Malibu, I'm thinking of.
No, that's the other side of America, I think. So wolves, collective noun, is a pack of wolves.
True, yeah.
A herd of caribou. Would you like, do you know, polar bears? Collective name for polar bears?
A matchstick. That's not that.
Is it to do with mints?
It is not.
A flummox.
It's an aurora.
Oh,
aurora of polar bears.
Do you know why polar bears don't eat penguins?
Because they can't get the wrappers off?
I just don't think that you get it. sky. And the losers get credit where winners will fly. I know them, that's a joke. Have you trusted in them? I will. There's a time and a place. Is that so?
That was Ricky Wiki with Jargon of Clones, featuring Bobby P, Bobby Pollard there, Robert Pollard, under the name Ricky Wiki. It's a single.
So Ricky Wiki, this is an emerging name, isn't it?
That's correct.
We played a track by Ricky Wiki.
That was from Ricky Wiki's first album this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is one of the lead singles. There are two actually.
So he's got another album coming out.
Yeah, second album called King Heavy Metal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm optimistic that you'll know a lot about this, Chirita. You have track record for heavy metal knowledge. And presumably it's also going to feature Nick Mitchell. Nick Mitchell's on the B-side here. He sings it again.
Yellow vinyl. Quite Worthy is the name of the B-side.
It's not as good. That Jargon of Clones, I think, is tremendous. I would say, and I'm going out on a limb here, it's my favourite Robert Pollard song this year.
When you first played me, got out of my voices... which was, I think, about 10 seconds after I first met you. I said it sounds like lo-fi REM.
Yeah,
and that one sounds like lo-fi REM more than most of them sound like lo-fi REM. But it sounds like lo-fi document era REM, or even monster era REM, which is no bad thing. It's very, very catchy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
really, really good. Yeah, I'll come back to the lyrics in a minute.
Okay. Rebel, are you a fan of that one?
It was stunning. Stunning. It's interesting that it's a single. I'm thinking, you can't keep this quality up. I thought, there's got to be like two songs of that on the album, and then 12 songs that you completely can't listen to.
Mm.
But who knows? Let's wait and see.
It's on its way to me, from Rockathon Records.
How excited do you get when you know it's on its way?
Very fucking excited, yeah.
I imagine for you, it's like someone having a Rolls Royce delivered from London.
But it's even more so this time, because it's coming with a Ricky Wiki t-shirt.
Good God.
Yeah,
good God. And how much would one pay for a full Ricky Wiki Albi and t-shirt combination?
Well, it's very reasonable. I think the vinyl album is $15. The t-shirt, I think, was probably about the same. CD, I think, is a little bit less, $12.
Oh, CD as well?
Yeah, obviously, it's a different format.
Right, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And God help me when he releases stuff on a different label in the UK. It's very expensive. But nevertheless, that's a grand single, that. And the other one's all right, but not quite as good as that.
I what was that word you taught me a little while ago about misheard lyric? I was going to say mildew or something.
Ah, yes.
Mondegreen. That's
right, yeah.
Now,
you were mondegreening to that, were you?
I only... yesterday, in fact, realised this song is called Jargon of Clones.
Mm.
What I'd heard up until there is, in the chorus, he's saying, it's the jug and the crow.
Oh,
and I had imagined that this... you know how usually we play a GBV song and I try and work out what the lyrics are about?
Yeah.
I'd worked out what the lyrics were about very well, based on that.
Yeah.
Based on the Aesop's fable the jug and the crow, where you know the crow wants a drink and he can't get the drink out of the jug because it's... there's not enough water in there, so he goes and gets a load of pebbles and he puts it in until the water level goes up, and then he gets a drink.
Yeah.
The moral being...
I don't know.
Well, just keep on going.
It's very dirty water. Get a drink. You're suddenly going to die having all those things.
That kind of thing. Mm. Because he says, on the broken scatter, your broken pebbles, if I was older still, I will. Searching the stream for some silver approval from the sky. I think that's pebbles. He's searching the stream for some pebbles to put in
sense.
The thing.
Yeah, it does make sense.
And the losers get credit while the winners can fly.
Crow. But then, that's your crow there.
There's the winner. He's won. Mm. He's one of life's winners. He's got the water.
Yeah.
He's wearing that rosette like the Dachshund. And but then I listened to it again, knowing that it's not anything about crows. And I realised that some of those lyrics I just said are not...
all also wrong as well.
They're not actually what he's singing.
No, just when you think you've captured it.
But see, the great thing
gets
is...
gets away from you.
Because, I'm not necessarily in favour of lyric sheets, I have to say. And I think partly this is why, because if you get proven to be wrong, it's a bit disappointing, isn't it? Whereas if you don't know you're wrong,
then you're still right.
I'll tell you my mate in the Gang of Four, who had a song called Armalite Rifles, and I couldn't even convince him it wasn't the case. He said, no, it's I'm an Ungrateful. It's in the classic punk tradition of insulting someone. I'm an Ungrateful. No, it's Armalite Rifles. It says so, it's the title of the song. Yeah, but they say, no, they don't.
What did we have before that?
That was the internet, I got so excited. We got a bit sidetracked, didn't we?
We did a little bit.
Talking about Labradors and stuff, yeah. And I forgot to tell you who the band were, or indeed what the song was called. It's called, they're called The Internet, it's a rather ungoogleable name, but they spell it as The, like T-H-E-E, and then a new word, Internet. I sent them a message, and they sent me a message back. Because I got the impression from seeing on YouTube, there's a video of them playing at a place called the Ship Pub in St John's. And there's a video of them playing that song and a few other songs, and it looks like they're quite popular because there's quite a lot of people out there and they seem to know the song. They're singing along, it seems. He seemed very grateful for the interest. Tyler, who wrote back to me, said, thanks for the interest. I'm curious to know how you stumbled upon us. We've been inactive for a while, but I'm looking at getting things going again. So this is coincidental timing.
Right.
And about the song Babe, because it is a kind of bit of a weird song in terms of the phrasing and the beats and as weird as it is, it all came pretty naturally, and it wasn't until I was teaching the band the parts that I had to figure out exactly how the best way to count some of the phrases. It's a pretty wacky jam. The idea of being an anxiety-ridden depiction of confronting someone and confronting yourself to go through with something. And he signs off saying, I'm Toronto-based now, so obviously all the dogs did his head
taken over,
where he was living before.
The polar bear.
Can't walk in down the street without.
Can I just?
And he says, "I'm in Toronto based." So if any of your listeners are located here, they should get in touch. Do that.
Yeah. Toronto based listener.
Find him on the internet.
Hey, can I just ask you though? Where did you find that song?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember. That's what was frustrating me.
Yeah.
I know from that when it was added to my iTunes library that I discovered it around about January.
Okay.
This year,
right.
But I can't remember. I was really quite annoyed because I wanted to reply
Tell
to him.
Him. Yeah, yeah.
And I did reply to him, and I said, I think probably what happened was it was probably recommended by another band on Bandcamp.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because even looking at the search tags on Bandcamp, there wasn't anything there. I thought, oh, I probably clicked on it because it said that.
Yeah. Because
there wasn't anything in particular there's a whole album that came out about 3 or 4 years ago. It's all very very strong, and it's all kind of a bit like that. It's kind of unusual, and yet you listen to it a few times and it just gets in your head and you can't kind of get rid of it.
But it is a song you could use to finish with someone, isn't it? You could use that to finish a relationship.
About recording it over and over again on one blank tape?
We're off to a festival next week, aren't we, boys?
Oh, yes.
Exactly. Whole day for us.
Well, I'm going for the whole thing.
Well,
you're just dipping into it for a single day. We're going to Indie Tracks, which is somewhere in Derbyshire, at a railway
place. I hope we're
going to
give us place. Better directions than that on the day.
Somewhere in Derbyshire. Yep. It's all very secret.
Yeah.
You should go too, listener. IndieTracks.co.uk. And they have released, as they do every year, they've released a 49-track compilation with all one track from lots of the bands that are playing. It's for charity. You can buy it for £3 at indietracks.co.uk, and all goes to the charity the Midland Railway, which is the place where they hold the festival. And our wizard Kicker of Elves,
hello,
for it is he, has chosen his favourite song from here.
Well, it wasn't easy really, because it's a great compilation. And I think if you like any of the songs on there, you probably like all of them. But there were one or two that stood out for me. Can you just move this up, because I'll get the name of this guy right. There was a very good, odd song.
Rodney Cromwell,
yeah. Barry was an arms dealer.
Yeah.
I like that very much, especially as my dad's name was Barry. And I like to think that now that he's, you know, gone, this is going to come out that actually
he was an arms dealer.
Yeah,
he's quite a mysterious fella.
It was mysterious. He was a mysterious fella. So I really like that song. But actually, my favourite song on the whole compilation was by the band Evans the Death, who surprisingly aren't Welsh. They're from London.
Uh-huh.
Well, it sounds like a Welsh character.
I see what you mean. Yeah,
off. What was he called?
Ivor
the Engine. Yeah. That's right. Evans the Death would be
the funeral arranger.
Oh, right, okay.
The song that's on the compilation, and it's also on this album that I've got in my hand here, which is entitled Expect Delays.
Which you already had?
Which I already had, and is in his Ace. It's got dogs on it. On the cover, that is. Longer than on the sound of the record itself. Anyway, the track that we're going to play is Evans the Death, and this is called Enabler. Chiritho, can you tell us who's playing at this Indie Tracks? Because
well, I can, but well, on the Friday night when you're not there,
oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing Cinerama, who is one of the main reasons why I'm going. And The School, who I played on I think podcast number 2.
Did you?
The very first Chiritho's Best of the Year podcast,
yeah.
And I think they were the band who you dismissed as lesbian house martins, if you recall.
Hello to them, though.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing them.
I dismissed them. I think I enjoyed them for being that.
Did you? Okay, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. I'll go to Sunday as well because you're not there either. But on Sunday, you've got sort of Letitia Sadler, who ex of Stereolab, is playing, yeah. And Joris Childs, ex of Gorky's, is playing.
He's great. Good.
Three bands who also played at the Going Up the Country Festival that I went to. Two of whom I saw, and one of whom I missed. But Economy Wednesday and Continuary Wires were both excellent there. Mm-hmm. And the Tuts, who I missed because I had to take my son home, they were the last band on.
Right.
And he was really dead on his feet.
When are
so
they on?
They're on Sunday.
Oh, Sunday, all right.
Yeah, all those bands are on Sunday.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
so you won't see any of them.
No.
Martha, who is the same guy who's on Sind. Who we've played on the podcast before. They're also on the Sunday.
Yeah. I like the look of the indoor stage on Saturday. The Wave Pitchers, who have played quite a lot.
We like them very much, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm desperate to hear Bunny Grunt.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what this
sounds
like.
Can I just say, this is not like...
It's not a description.
It's not this literal festival that we were thinking about putting on.
Oh, it's got a lot of... But that could be on, couldn't it?
That could be a literal festival. The literal festival was the idea that me and Rebel had when we were... I can't remember where we were going. We were going somewhere. We were on a train station talking about it.
We were.
Anyway, we decided that we not only could we put a gig on,
uh-huh.
I mean, everybody put gigs on. We're going to put a festival on.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But of course, with our lack of contacts,
yeah.
It might be difficult to get all the bands that we like. So
yeah.
let's say we start with The Jam.
But rather than having the band, the jam, we would just have
a jar of jam
on the stage.
Yeah. The cucumbers, maybe?
Is that a band?
It is, if you've got two cucumbers on a stage. The bunnies, I think, set it off.
No, it was the hamsters.
You could have the white stripes, couldn't you?
The white stripes, fantastic. You've got it.
Yeah.
You've got the idea.
Yeah.
Yes, the hamsters.
You could have madness.
We've got the cars.
An actual insane person.
Not sure that wouldn't be ethical.
We might. What we could do, we could get the police on and boo them off.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good.
Half man, half biscuit. You could find virtually chop somebody in half and
put a biscuit
in his legs. Yeah, yeah.
So, we're getting a little bit distracted from what we're talking about. But yes, Bunny Grunt would work on both festivals.
Yes, the Beatles. You could have them on.
That's right.
So, talking of which, then, Mammoth Penguins, I'm looking forward to seeing. If it was a literal one, that'd be very interesting.
Lost Pets, that'd be even better. Yeah. Just Pets looking clueless on the stage.
Rodney Cromwell. Rodney Cromwell, who we mentioned before, Barry, the arms dealer.
Yeah,
song.
Very good, yeah.
He's on, but he's on at the same time as Mammoth Penguins, so I might have to watch a bit of them.
A run between the two, maybe.
Yeah, Wave Pictures, Tiger Cats, I'm a big fan of their Mysteries LP that came out earlier this year, so I'm looking forward to seeing them. And Colleen Green, who I don't know much about, but I know that she's on the same label as Taco Cat and La Serra, both of whom we've played. Yeah. So she's on Hardly Art Records, so I think she's in the same kind of vein as that, so she must be good.
Evans of Death Run at 20-3, so definitely go and see them. Lost Bonsais. Now, you see, you could just get a Spanish bonsai tree. That'd be fantastic.
Lost Bonsais. You'd put a bonsai on with, like, eyes flicking back and forth like it was lost.
The Ethical Debating Society.
Let it go.
Anyway, there's loads of good stuff on there.
So we will be making a podcast from the festival, will we?
I think we should, yes.
We'll do a review.
I think we need to tell Rebel what the bands are like after 8 o'clock, because we'll have had enough by then.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Well, I'll be incoherent anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
As we come to the end of the podcast, then I think it's only fair to say to you boys, Eid Mubarak.
You what?
Eid Mubarak. Eh? Eid Mubarak, for it is Eid.
Oh, it is indeed today. Yes.
Happy Eid.
Happy Eid indeed, Eid Mubarak. And so I've brought for you, all the way from Saudi Arabia, some dates.
Right. Have you?
Yeah, I have.
Right.
And would you like
really?
Yeah. And would you like to try them?
They're very sticky, aren't they?
Well, these are caramelised.
Right.
So yeah, get one in your
gob.
Get one in your gob.
Do they have stones in them?
There are stones in them. Yeah, you have to try and see what you think. Your face is a picture.
Yeah.
You're not a fan.
Not really. All right.
Okay. Well, while these two wizards are enjoying,
you've bought us quite a lot of them, haven't you?
Enjoying. The start of the 14 kilos.
Anyway, talking of dates.
Yeah. Mm.
August 14th.
Yeah, we should mention this actually. So, 14th of August in Liverpool, Maguire's Pizza
Bar. Maguire's Pizza Bar again.
Pizza Bar. Crenshaw Street.
Yeah. The pride of Cardigan. Sendelica are playing. Mm. Which, if that's not enough to entice you down to Renshaw Street, we should tell you that we're DJing. Me and Rebel are DJing a space rock, kraut rock, fruit de mer flavoured set.
It's going to psych you out.
Mm. Well, I'm playing that, and Rebel's going to play mostly the Stranglers, I think.
I'll play one Stranglers song.
Yes.
Early Doors.
You mean the Stranglers and some Early Doors?
If you like.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought it would be good to play some Sendelica now.
Yes, it
So this is a track from their album which came out in January this year, which is called Anima Mundi, which you Latin fans out there will know means...
Animals? Animals on Monday?
World Soul.
Oh yeah, Mundi. Like Mundi, yeah.
Mm. That's much more embracing and artistic.
Yeah. And this song is called Baalbek Stones. Baalbek, of course, being a place in Lebanon, which I've been to.
Not date stones, then.
Well, you can get dates there. Big on the dates in Lebanon.
Is the Baalbek Stones, are they the stones inside the dates, then?
No, Baalbek Stones, it's a bit like Stonehenge, but in Lebanon.
Okay.
It's a very impressive place, and I visited there with Mrs. O'Elves back in the day. We went on a holiday to Lebanon, as you do,
And
that's quite a place.
And we're based in Beirut.
Did you go on the holiday to the Lebanon just purely because of your love of the human life?
Mostly because of that, yes. Anyway, we went to Baalbek, and it is a bit like Stonehenge, and there's some great footage, well, I think it's great, of me booting a ball past a flailing, let's be fair, Mrs. O'Elves, stood in the goal made from the Baalbek stones, which is great.
Excellent.
Anyway.
Footage on were. Where can the listeners see this?
Well, we have pictures. In my house.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not on YouTube. Enough about that. This is a song, Baalbek Stones, by Sendelica. It starts off with some very big guitar riffs, but quite brilliantly and quite unusually for them. They kind of go into a bit more of a sax-led, chill-out dub bit towards the end. So hang on in there. Here's Sendelica. We'll be right back.
Well, listen, that's all we've got time for tonight. So it's all that remains for me to say from Rebel Records, keep feeling fascination. And from Mr. Kickerver.
Lebanon.
And should we throw Garbanzo?
I got nothing.
You're being boiled down.
No, I got nothing. I got nothing to do with it.
Good night, listener.